Today is the 12th day of October. Welcome to the Daily Audio Bible. I am Brian. Welcome to a brand new, shiny, sparkly week. It is great to be here with you today. And it is our rhythm to pay attention to the fact that we're beginning a brand new week. 52 times we get to do this. Every time we do a revolution around the sun and through the entire Bible. And so we pay attention. It's not as many times as you think, but it's 52 resets. Because every week is telling a story. It's another chapter in the book of our lives. And if we pay attention at the beginning and then reflect at the end, then we are kind of getting in the practice of being self-reflective, self-aware, paying attention to the impact of our own lives instead of simply paying attention to everyone else's impact on us. And when we can take charge and be aware and paying attention to the fact that we are writing the story of our lives, well, then we can actually make the significant kind of changes that seem to be elusive to us. So here we are, beginning of another brand new sparkly week. And we're all out in front of it. See that? Look at that vista. Look at that. Look at those rolling hills of the new week. Brand new, sparkly, nothing. Nothing has gone right or wrong. We're just going to walk through it. And if we walk through it with intentionality, paying attention, choosing in advance the way that we are going to respond, the kind of posture of heart we're going to keep, well, then we got a chance. We got a chance of succeeding. And then we'll look back at it. We'll see where we succeeded and where we failed. And we'll keep dialing it in, making improvements. So it's a brand new week. Let's do this. Let's live it well. Let's embrace it fully. Let's have self-discipline. Let's be paying attention to the impact we're having. And certainly, let's allow the scriptures to inform all of that. So this week, new week, we'll read from the New Living Translation and continue our journey through the book of Jeremiah. Today, chapters 19, 20, and 21. This is what the Lord said to me. Go and buy a clay jar. Then ask some of the leaders of the people and of the priests to follow you. Go out through the gate of broken pots to the garbage dump in the valley of Ben Hinnom. And give them this message. Say to them, listen to this message from the Lord, you kings of Judah and citizens of Jerusalem. This is what the Lord of Heaven's armies, the God of Israel, says. I will bring a terrible disaster on this place, and the ears of those who hear about it will ring. For Israel has forsaken me and turned this valley into a place of wickedness. The people burn incense to foreign gods, idols never before acknowledged by this generation, by their ancestors, or by the kings of Judah. And they have filled this place with the blood of innocent children. They have built pagan shrines to Baal, and there they burn their sons as sacrifices to Baal. I have never commanded such a horrible deed. It never even crossed my mind to command such a thing. So beware. For the time is coming, says the Lord, when this garbage dump will no longer be called Topheth or the Valley of Ben-Hinnom, but the Valley of Slaughter. For I will upset the careful plans of Judah and Jerusalem. I will allow the people to be slaughtered by invading armies, and I will leave their dead bodies as food for the vultures and wild animals. I will reduce Jerusalem to ruins, making it a monument to their stupidity. All who pass by will be astonished and will gasp at the destruction they see there. I will see to it that your enemies lay siege to this city until all the food is gone. Then those trapped inside will eat their own sons and daughters and friends. They will be driven to utter despair. As these men watch you, Jeremiah, smash the jar you brought. Then say to them, this is what the Lord of Heaven's armies says. As this jar lies shattered, so I will shatter the people of Judah and Jerusalem beyond all hope of repair. They will bury the bodies here in Topheth, the garbage dump, until there is no more room for them. This is what I will do to this place and its people, says the Lord. I will cause this city to become defiled like Topheth. Yes, all the houses in Jerusalem, including the palace of Judah's kings, will become like Topheth. All the houses where you burned incense on the rooftops to your star gods, and where liquid offerings were poured out to your idols. Then Jeremiah returned from Topheth, the garbage dump, where he had delivered this message. And he stopped in front of the temple of the Lord. He said to the people there, this is what the Lord of Heaven's armies, the God of Israel, says. I will bring disaster upon this city and its surrounding towns as I promised, because you have stubbornly refused to listen to me. Now Pashur, son of Immer, the priest in charge of the temple of the Lord, heard what Jeremiah was prophesying. So he arrested Jeremiah the prophet and had him whipped and put in stocks at the Benjamin gate of the Lord's temple. The next day, when Pashur finally released him, Jeremiah said, Pashur, the Lord has changed your name. From now on, you are to be called the man who lives in terror. For this is what the Lord says, I will send terror upon you and all your friends, and you will watch as they are slaughtered by the swords of the enemy. I will hand the people of Judah over to the king of Babylon. He will take them captive to Babylon, or run them through with the sword. And I will let your enemies plunder Jerusalem. All the famed treasures of the city, the precious jewels and gold and silver of your kings will be carried off to Babylon. As for you, Pashur, you and all your household will go as captives to Babylon. There you will die and be buried. You and all your friends to whom you prophesied that everything would be all right. Oh, Lord, you misled me, and I allowed myself to be misled. You are stronger than I am, and you overpowered me. Now I am mocked every day. Everyone laughs at me. When I speak, the words burst out. Violence and destruction, I shout. So these messages from the Lord have made me a household joke. But if I say, I'll never mention the Lord, or speak in his name, his word burns in my heart like a fire. It's like a fire in my bones. I am worn out trying to hold it in. I can't do it. I have heard the many rumors about me. They call me the man who lives in terror. They threaten, if you say anything, we will report it. Even my old friends are watching me, waiting for a fatal slip. He will trap himself, they say, and then we will get our revenge on him. But the Lord stands beside me like a great warrior. Before him, my persecutors will stumble. They cannot defeat me. They will fail and be thoroughly humiliated. Their dishonor will never be forgotten. O Lord of Heaven's armies, you test those who are righteous, and you examine the deepest thoughts and secrets. Let me see your vengeance against them, for I have committed my cause to you. Sing to the Lord, praise the Lord, for though I was poor and needy, he rescued me from my oppressors. Yet I curse the day I was born. May no one celebrate the day of my birth. I curse the messenger who told my father, good news, you have a son. Let him be destroyed like the cities of old that the Lord overthrew without mercy. Terrify him all day long with battle shouts, because he did not kill me at birth. Oh, that I had died in my mother's womb, that her body had been my grave. Why was I ever born? My entire life has been filled with trouble, sorrow, and shame. The Lord spoke through Jeremiah when King Zedekiah sent Pashur, son of Malchijah, and Zephaniah, son of Maaseiah, the priest, to speak with him. They begged Jeremiah, "Please speak to the Lord for us and ask him to help us. King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon is attacking Judah. Perhaps the Lord will be gracious and do a mighty miracle as he has done in the past. Perhaps he will force Nebuchadnezzar to withdraw his armies." Jeremiah replied, "Go back to King Zedekiah and tell him, 'This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. I will make your weapons useless against the king of Babylon and the Babylonians who are outside your walls attacking you. In fact, I will bring your enemies right into the heart of this city. I myself will fight against you with a strong hand and a powerful arm, for I am very angry. You have made me furious. I will send a terrible plague upon this city, and both people and animals will die. And after all that, says the Lord, I will hand over King Zedekiah, his staff, and everyone else in the city who survives the disease, war, and famine. I will hand them over to King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon and to their other enemies. He will slaughter them and show them no mercy, pity, or compassion. Tell all the people, this is what the Lord says. Take your choice of life or death. Everyone who stays in Jerusalem will die from war, famine, or disease. But those who go out and surrender to the Babylonians will live. Their reward will be life. For I have decided to bring disaster and not good upon this city, says the Lord. It will be handed over to the king of Babylon, and he will reduce it to ashes. Say to the royal family of Judah, listen to this message from the Lord. This is what the Lord says to the dynasty of David. Give justice each morning to the people you judge. Help those who have been robbed. Rescue them from their oppressors. Otherwise, my anger will burn like an unquenchable fire because of all your sins. I will personally fight against the people in Jerusalem, that mighty fortress. The people who boast, 'No one can touch us here. No one can break in here.' And I myself will punish you for your sinfulness, says the Lord. I will light a fire in your forests that will burn up everything around you." First Thessalonians 5:4-28. "But you aren't in the dark about these things, dear brothers and sisters, and you won't be surprised when the day of the Lord comes like a thief. For you are all children of the light and of the day. We don't belong to darkness and night. So be on your guard, not asleep like the others. Stay alert and be clear-headed. Night is the time when people sleep and drinkers get drunk. But let us who live in the light be clear-headed, protected by the armor of faith and love, and wearing as our helmet the confidence of our salvation. For God chose to save us through our Lord Jesus Christ, not to pour out his anger on us. Christ died for us so that whether we are dead or alive when he returns, we can live with him forever. So encourage each other and build each other up, just as you are already doing. Dear brothers and sisters, honor those who are your leaders in the Lord's work. They work hard among you and give you spiritual guidance. Show them great respect and wholehearted love because of their work, and live peacefully with each other. Brothers and sisters, we urge you to warn those who are lazy. Encourage those who are timid. Take tender care of those who are weak. Be patient with everyone. See that no one pays back evil for evil, but always try to do good to each other and to all people. Always be joyful. Never stop praying. Be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. Do not stifle the Holy Spirit. Do not scoff at prophecies, but test everything that is said. Hold on to what is good. Stay away from every kind of evil. Now may the God of peace make you holy in every way. And may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless until our Lord Jesus Christ comes again. God will make this happen, for he who calls you is faithful. Dear brothers and sisters, pray for us. Greet all the brothers and sisters with a sacred kiss. I command you in the name of the Lord to read this letter to all the brothers and sisters. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Psalm 82, a Psalm of Asaph. God presides over heaven's courts. He pronounces judgment on the heavenly beings. How long will you hand down unjust decisions by favoring the wicked? Give justice to the poor and the orphan. Uphold the rights of the oppressed and the destitute. Rescue the poor and helpless. Deliver them from the grasp of evil people. But these oppressors know nothing. They are so ignorant. They wander about in darkness while the whole world is shaken to the core. I say, you are gods. You are all children of the Most High. But you will die like mere mortals and fall like every other ruler. Rise up, O God, and judge the earth, for all the nations belong to you. Proverbs 25:9-10. When arguing with your neighbor, don't betray another person's secret. Others may accuse you of gossip, and you will never regain your good reputation. Father, we thank you for your word and for this brand new shiny sparkly week. We thank you that we can observe a shift, a restart, a reset, and then we can take steps forward, being aware that every word, thought, and action has a consequence, good or evil, and we are stacking up those consequences to tell the story of our lives. So as we move into this new week, we take to heart the proverb today, telling us again, as we are repeatedly told throughout the scriptures, that what we say matters, because what we say is creating reality. It is the story we are telling, And it is the story we are spinning for other people to believe in. We can create false realities everywhere with deception and lies. We're told today when we're arguing, we should not be betraying another person's secret. Gosh, that happens. We're mad at somebody. We want vengeance and we slander them. The scriptures tell us others will accuse us though, and we will never regain our good reputation from being a gossip. We will always have that label. May this not be true of us. May we, especially as we're paying attention this week, pay attention to gossip and slander in our lives. We ask in the name of Jesus. Welcome back. We are coming to you from Istanbul, Turkey again. It's kind of like Israel. Like,
I've been practicing that all day.
Yeah?
Yeah, because we say the emphasis on Istanbul.
Yeah.
They say Istanbul.
Ah, okay.
Sorry.
No problem. I'm pretty... I'm emotionally and physically overwhelmed at this point. I think the jet lag is going away. It sort of has this kind of Israel feel where just after a couple of days in Israel, you feel like it's been a couple of weeks.
Congratulations. I'm really happy for you.
Yeah. It's like literally we've only been here for two full days.
You can stop now.
The day before yesterday, we got here. And so we have covered some ground when kind of completed what we're, just the acclimation period and seeing Istanbul.
Yeah, there
Istanbul.
You go. Istanbul.
And so how are you holding up?
I'm delirious.
It rained most of the day today. Yesterday was like blue sky and beautiful, and then it rained most of the day today and got really cold.
But don't you worry, I have a bath running for you.
Yeah,
right now.
It's been so cold and wet today, but we did some cool things.
Yeah, we did.
So we started off going to a place called the Kora Church.
Mm-hmm.
Where it's some of the most intricate mosaics.
Mm-hmm.
From the Byzantine era, ever, like in the whole world. And that was really interesting. First of all, just the way that they did their, the way that they told the stories.
Yes.
Before there was, all this internet and AI and all the stuff that we're so used to.
The way even the little felt pads from Sunday school, the felt boards.
Yeah.
With the cutouts of the whale and...
Yeah, the dolphin. There was a depiction of Jonah today, and our guy was like, which prophet was it that was swallowed by the dolphin? And we thought that was pretty cute.
I was reminded today how important it is to know the Bible.
Yeah. So these mosaics really are... they're like 700 years old and really beautiful. But I guess what struck me in that place, first of all, it's a Byzantine church. It was turned into a mosque. So mm-hmm. We're in a mosque again. But they've preserved all of this as the artwork of antiquity. And so when I'm looking at this and I'm like, wow, this is how the stories were told.
Mm-hmm.
People couldn't read.
Right.
There wasn't a printing press yet.
Yeah.
And so to attend or go and visit a church like this and just look up to the heavens and see all of this story work on the ceilings, beautifully done. That's how the stories spread. That's how the stories were remembered. That's how the mm-hmm. stories were told. And it's really interesting here where we are and just understanding some of the Byzantine Empire and the different ways that the traditions we're told, for example, so much of what was on that ceiling comes from the apocryphal book, The Infancy Gospels of James.
Yeah.
So that depicts the entire birth narrative of Mary, the mother of Jesus, who her parents were, how they were given divine revelation about who she would be, how she was raised in the temple, like how she came to know Joseph. All of these kinds of questions that people would have had back then. I mean, there's so many writings that existed to explain so many things before there was like a canonized New Testament.
Mm.
And so these stories that are depicted in some of the ceiling there, you can still read that. Like, they're still available.
Yeah.
They're just not included in the New Testament. But they were like scripture for them.
Yeah.
Enough to be like memorialized forever.
Yeah.
On these ceilings.
Yeah. And the thing that's so fascinating as I'm listening to the stories that we're being told is it's no secret that we live in a predominantly Judeo-Christian nation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we are currently not.
Right. We're not in that atmosphere at all.
Right. And so the stories that they tell and how they tell them and how they interpret them, you really see where the emphasis is highlighted.
Mm-hmm.
To see it from their viewpoint, or to understand their viewpoint. And so it's not a criticism. It's an observation.
Yeah.
Of how interesting it is that we can tell a story and really formulate it to however we want the listener to hear it or believe it.
Yeah.
And
a lot of that has to do with how it was given to us in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
And how things have shifted deeper and wider, and how they're different around the world and just expanding. I mean, we just kind of live in this American bubble sometimes.
For sure.
And, just somehow think that everybody has only ever thought one way, and that's just not the case. And so it's very expanding to experience these things. And so that was how we started our day.
Yeah, well, actually how we started previous to that was having a Turkish coffee in just the lovely little gardens.
Oh, yeah.
Next to the church to just kind of get our bearings.
Yeah, just kind of walk through, yeah.
Oh, it was so
lovely.
That
was lovely.
I just love a garden.
Yep, and some pomegranate orange juice.
Ugh.
Like life. Liquid life.
Liquid life in a plastic cup.
Yeah. So from there, we went to the Grand Bazaar, and this is a mall of antiquity.
Over 4,000 stores.
Yeah. So, yes. So this is the, first of all, this began in the 1400s. And second of all, it is the largest covered, shopping marketplace in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And third, as you said, there are 4,000 stores there. So we saw like maybe 200. I don't know. Just walking a couple of blocks in there.
At one point, we were just a few minutes in and we're following our guide, and she kind of takes an unexpected turn down the side alley, and there were no people, and it was like, it's so quiet.
Yeah.
It's so peaceful.
Yeah, that was definitely... Istanbul has been sensory overload. A lot of people, a lot of commotion, a lot of noise.
And it reminds me when we are in Israel, and we're coming from the Sea of Galilee, which is just so beautiful.
Yeah.
So still, peaceful,
yeah.
Serene, quiet, and bam, you're in Jerusalem.
Yeah, and that's culture shock.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's like going from Little House on the Prairie to New York City.
With jet lag.
with which makes it extra special.
Yeah, and extra intense. So we got to experience that, and that is something to experience. And I think we had lunch before that.
We had a wonderful, oh my gosh, lunch was so good.
Very traditional. Kebabs.
Yes.
And as you have mentioned, most everyday hospitality.
Mm-hmm.
Just very kind.
He was very kind. I think that was the owner that took care of us.
Mm-hmm.
And he was all business.
Mm-hmm.
And then at the end, I said, this is the best meal we've had in Istanbul. And his face changed. Mm-hmm. And he just smiled. And I was like, ah, there's a smile.
Yeah.
They take pride in their work. And that was just really...
That was delicious.
It was delicious.
So
fresh.
Yeah.
Fresh tomatoes and cucumbers and parsley and squeeze of lemon and some olive oil. And it was so good.
It was so good. And then, and mind you, it's raining all this time and it's cold. So we're kind of navigating in that kind of atmosphere. And so that's just draining in and of itself. And then we go to, what was it called? Topopki Palace.
Sure.
And this is the palace, where the government of the Ottoman Empire ruled. And this is a 700-year empire that existed until, I guess, the end of World War I. And modern-day Turkey declared its independence and won its independence and has been that way ever since. But the kind of dictator or emperor, as it were, for the Ottoman Empire was called a sultan.
Mm-hmm.
And this is where the sultans lived and governed and, you know, their traditions and everything. And so it's now a very, very massive, very sprawling museum complex. And very, very interesting things there.
Yes.
I mean, like, there was a diamond. There was a diamond there that's, like, as big as your nose.
No, it was bigger. I think it is the largest diamond I have ever laid eyes on.
For sure.
And I was like, ooh, this would make some famous American people jealous.
Man. But just the opulence of royalty, the things the sultans wore, like, you know, like looking at their regal royal wear and going, wow, this is what the sultan wore in 14, you know, 12. And they've got it all because this is royalty. And so that's preserved. And just the different swords and weaponry and...
With jewels, encrusted with jewels.
Oh, the pageantry.
Yeah.
Just very beautiful, very, very cool to behold. And I guess the biblical connection there were three artifacts that are like, wait, what? And, you know, how is this here? And how this tradition comes down through... Islam, there was the staff of Moses.
Yeah.
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 I don't know how I feel about that.
I mean, so like probably very little archaeological evidence for a lot of relics. Even in Christianity, this was all going down in the early years where different relics were being passed around and were considered holy and would bring people into churches to, you know, to see and view them. And so, you know, Moses is an important figure, obviously in our faith and in Judaism, but also in Islam. And so here is this staff And it's like, wow, wasn't so long ago. We're reading the story of Moses in the wilderness and,
mm-hmm.
you know, that staff having an important role in a lot of things, like striking the rock and water flowing out and being held up and oceans parting. And so I'm looking at this artifact going, why? I had no clue. But this has been held throughout the Empire of the Ottomans as a holy relic. And I was just like, I had no idea.
I think that's... I know what I thought when I saw a holy relic.
Yeah. I just hadn't seen too many holy relics. So then there was another relic, and that was the sword of King David.
Yeah.
Again, like, wait. I never even knew that there was purported to be a sword of David that was still in existence, but David is also an important king and prophet in Islam, and so...
So naturally, you've looked it up to verify its authenticity.
Yeah, I mean, relics don't have a whole lot of pedigree, a lot of, like, the chain of command and how yeah. these things were passed down, and a lot of this is taken on faith, and that is not just... I mean, that is across the board in kind of any ancient faith-based relic.
And it's probably safe to say that it's one of the swords of King David, right? Not like
I doubt it. I don't know. I don't want to say. I'm not a scientist, and looked kind of medieval to me.
Yeah.
Didn't look like it was like 3,500 or 3,000 years old.
Yeah.
But who am I?
Well, I mean,
it's a very important relic, and it's taken on faith, and people will go there, and mostly Muslims.
I'm being generous with giving it even maybe one of David's swords.
Yeah, well, I don't know.
I don't know either.
But it was kind of cool to just brush up against that. Brush up against the story of Moses and the story of King David.
And then the third.
From a completely different perspective.
Oh, yeah.
Coming from a completely different kind of religious tradition and persuasion and stories and understanding, like, these are the same people who did the same things, but they're viewed very differently and they're still considered very, very important.
Right.
Enough to, like, have these relics. And then the third one was the New Testament one of a person who is in the New Testament who is also an important figure in Islam. That is John the Baptist.
Yeah.
And so as the story goes, during the Roman Empire, once Emperor Constantine had converted or begun to accept Christianity, and this is in the early 300s, his mom, Helena, who is considered a saint, collected a lot of artifacts, like actually came into the Holy Land and spent years collecting artifacts and bringing them throughout the Roman Empire. And she was a devout believer in Jesus. And one of these artifacts was the bones, or some of the bones, of John the Baptist that ended up in, well, throughout the empire, but ended up in modern day Turkey and found their way into, like, the Ottoman Empire collection of things. And so here is this like this golden hand arm with arm bones inside, like where you could kind of look in and see arm bones. And this is a tradition going back to like the early 300s. So
that is crazy.
That's a deep enough and long enough tradition, as many of the traditional places related to Jesus, or as our guide would say, the Jesus Christ. Yeah. So it was just, again, like, really, I had no idea that this was something that we were going to encounter today. I wasn't It just kind of snuck up.
Yeah.
How did you, what did you think about the, I mean, amidst all of that are, like, a lot of artifacts from the Prophet Muhammad, and just, you know, it's a relic place.
An ancient.
Considered holy, and people are in there looking at all this stuff. How did it hit you?
Yeah, I don't know how to respond to that. I'm cautiously hopeful. I don't know. I guess I just have a fair bit of, like, really?
Yeah.
Really?
And I suppose that's fair with a lot of different relics. I don't feel like seeing any of those things rocked my faith or changed my faith or even emboldened or grew my faith. It was just like, wow. Especially those John the Baptist bones, they go back along, like, this is a very, very old tradition, mm-hmm. going back into the Roman Empire. And just outside, actually, of that entire complex is another church, the Church of St. Irene, which was built in 308, commissioned and under the authority of Emperor Constantine, the Roman Emperor that, you know, is responsible for allowing Christianity to thrive and become the religion of the Roman Empire.
Mm-hmm.
So the very people that, you know, killed Jesus became the very people that protected all these relics and built all these churches. And
I think that was maybe my thoughts about John the Baptist of, you know, after the brutality of his death,
mm-hmm.
and how he died, that a young beautiful girl who made her father proud by dancing wanted to give her something on her birthday,
mm-hmm.
and her mom kind of does the old switcheroo, you know, manipulative, controlling mother of get me what I want.
Yeah.
And she wanted the head of John the Baptist.
Yeah.
And, you know, so maybe that's trauma.
Yeah.
If you've witnessed that beheading or heard about it or knew him and he's gone.
Yeah.
You know, so maybe there's, like, some source. Perhaps there was some sort of, like, dignity. Like, let's, I don't know.
Yeah.
I was just trying to think of how this golden hand could have ended up in this box with lights and, like, give him his dignity back. Yeah,
from the ancient Roman Empire. And actually, as you're saying that, I'm like, wow, we've heard several other stories of women who danced and got a lot of things.
Mm-hmm.
Among the sultans and, you know, among some of these stories.
Yeah.
That we've heard. Over the last couple of days of immersing ourselves into this culture.
I think there's a reason why the Bible is very clear about the responsibility that women have with their beauty and mm-hmm. their
mm-hmm.
ability to seduce and mm-hmm. be seductive. And we heard a lot about it today, so.
Yeah.
I don't know how to really give you any feedback on this all today. It was a bit overwhelming.
Yeah, completely.
It was fascinating, but it was also, I think it was really encouraging to see so many different people,
mm-hmm.
different people groups,
mm-hmm.
ethnicities,
mm-hmm.
faiths.
Yeah.
And nobody was arguing.
True.
Nobody's like, yeah, that Muhammad guy.
Mm.
I can't believe you believe in him.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we're just respectful of, okay, you're here. I'm going to give you the ample time that I want in front of this relic. And, like, you saw their humanity and not their label.
Yeah. Yeah.
I thought that was nice.
I think that's a good observation. And that's what we did today. I think that's what we did today.
Yeah.
The best I can remember, that's what we did today. And so that was the time that was allotted to kind of do a cultural immersion and understand Istanbul and get over jet lag and
the sun.
Yeah, and so we're moving forward from here.
I'm excited about tomorrow.
I am too.
Very excited.
I'm excited about everything going forward. I was excited about this. It's just a lot. And I think I'm glad we did it this way because we're immersed and this is a very different culture.
Yes.
I look forward to showing you this stuff in the video that we'll post. All the things that we're talking about. So be sure to follow us on the different social channels that we participate in. It's been fun that you are, and we are grateful for that. And
your precious little baby blue eyes are so red and so tired.
I'm so tired. Well, we should sign off for now.
Yeah, lots more to come.
Lots more to come. Thank you for continuing to pray for us. DailyAudioBible.com is the website, or the app is the app. Get connected, be connected. If you are looking for where we are on social, just look for the community section. All the links are there. If you want to partner with the Daily Audio Bible, thank you. Beyond profoundly, we are humbled beyond words that 20 years later, this is still happening. I'm grateful to be sharing this experience as we really try to immerse ourselves in some of the stories of the New Testament over the next couple weeks. And there is a link on the homepage at dailyaudiobible.com. If you're using the app, you can press the give button in the upper right hand corner, or the mailing address is
P.O. Box 1996, Spring Hill, Tennessee 37174.
And if you have a prayer request or encouragement, hit the hotline button in the app, which is the little red button up at the top. And depending on where you're calling with your prayer request or encouragement, what should they do?
If you're calling chronological, 800-583-2164. Or if you're calling Daily Audio Bible,
877-942-4253. Or in the app,
hit the red circle button.
Yeah.
Up at the top midsection, when you're finished, hit submit. Take your little pointer finger and turn the little wheel to chronological or DAB or
wherever you're sending.
Wherever the Lord leads you.
Yep. And that is all for today. I am Brian.
I'm Jill.
We love you.
The Lord is leading me to bed.
Yep.
We love you. I love you.
And we'll be waiting for you here tomorrow.
Hello, this is Mirabel Viviana from Scotland. And I wanted to definitely say thank you for all the prayers that go out and that are also for those who don't ask for prayers. I always feel included as well when I don't ask for specific prayers. And also wanted to say thank you so much for praying for my son, 17-year-old son. He is really, he's getting better. He's really fighting his way out of his depression and his gaming addiction. He's amazing for his 17 years. He does fall back, but the times that he stays in this stupor get shorter, and I'm sure that the prayers help immensely. And then I wanted to say that I definitely will pray for Brian and Jill and your journey. It's such an exciting venture that you are going on. Thank you so much for exploring that. And yeah, I'm absolutely in awe and looking forward to hearing from you and seeing pictures. And of Turkey and Greece and Italy and Crete, maybe. So all blessings may be with you. I imagine Jesus on your side. Loads of light and love goes with you on your journey. And thank you. Thank you for everything you do for us. I'm also very honored to be part of this family here. Thank you very much. All the best.
Hi neighbors, it's Lisa the Encourager. I just wanted to call in and say a prayer for Christy from Kentucky. And I don't know if you all know this, but I don't know how long exactly ago it was, probably at least 5 years ago, that Christy would draw the most beautiful collages, and she would incorporate everybody's names that called in the prayer line, and it would be a beautiful picture at the end of the day, whether it was birds or butterflies or flowers, and she would have your name, like my name, Lisa the Encourager, incorporated in this beautiful art. And it was a way that she would share with us that she was praying for all of us who had called in. And then I also remember her and her husband, Tim, doing live, Facebook live, sharing wisdom, praying for others, and just encouraging people in the Lord. And I just, she's just such a beautiful soul, and I just want her to know how much we love her and are thinking about her at the most difficult time in her life. And so I know many have prayed, and I just want to join in those prayers for Christy. I know when I lost my parents, I couldn't explain the peace that I had, and I know it came from a lot of your prayers. So, dear Lord God, thank you so much for Christy from Kentucky. Thank you for her positive, loving spirit, Lord. Thank you for the beautiful woman that she is inside, always exemplifying the beautiful spirit of the Lord. Thank you, God, for letting her be a part of this community. And we just pray that you will just...
Hey, Dev Fam, it's Carrie, a.k.a. Jesus Girl. This is for Kyle in Pennsylvania and his daughter, who is a miracle walking. God, I come to you and I thank you and I praise you. I praise you for your miraculous touch of this baby girl. She's not a baby anymore, though, God. You have given her life and sustained her for 5 years plus. And Jesus, we thank you and we praise you, Kyle, seeing you work miracles. And God, the fact that she is this age and is now able to have this surgery. God, we come to you, excuse me, and we praise you for the ability. And now, God, we ask that you be in that surgical room. You be with this renowned surgeon, God. You be with his daughter. Be with each and every member of the team that will be taking care of her. God, I ask that you help this doctor who you have given the gift of healing to. God, you have given her this gift to be able to touch a heart and do things with it that so many others can't, and that's through you, God. We just ask that you give her perfect, precise skill that day, God, that when she walks into that operating room, that she be refreshed, her mind be clear, and that each and every person in there is on their top game. And God, we ask that you bless this girl with many, many, many more years of a beautiful, beautiful life. We thank you, we praise you, we give you honor and glory, and we look forward to hearing the positive report. Amen.
Good morning, DAB. This is Chosen Latina from New York. I wanted to send a particular prayer for Jesse. Your message really touched me because I myself have been on the other side of the fence, in a sense, dealing with a friend who also has the same issue of avoidance disorder from trauma, and he's even in leadership, but has not gotten the help or the and the healing and deliverance that he needs. And so as a result, I unfortunately, after 8 years of friendship, had to completely cut him out of my life because of the stress that it was causing me. And I hope, Jesse, that this does not happen to you. I encourage you to please get all the help, the healing, deliverance, the psychotherapy that you need to help you heal so that you can move on and have a prosperous and loving relationship with your family. And I just want to lift up Jesse to you, Lord. I ask, Father God, that you give him, that you touch him in a special way, that you touch him in his inner soul, Father God, that you give him the wisdom on who to reach out to for help, for therapy, for healing and deliverance, God. Guide him, Father God. Touch him, Father God. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.